Manhunt. The story of the crystal clue that led to Manhunt. No crime has been committed yet. No murder has been done yet. No manhunt has begun yet.
Hello, J. Richard Darcy speaking. Is that you, Tom?
No, it isn't who you think at all, Darcy.
Well, who are you and what do you want? Calling me on my private phone.
Who am I? And what do I want? I am Death, Darcy. Death. And I want you.
I can't breathe. I can't.
Very clever, murderer. The sound of your voice killed your victim. And a voice doesn't leave a clue. Or does it? Who will find the clue? Who will start the manhunt? Manhunt and the Crystal Clue.
All right, John, lad. Tell me exactly what happened now.
Well, there's nothing to tell, Mr. Morton. About 20 minutes ago, I came here to Mr. Darcy's apartment with some work that he'd wanted me to bring him.
Uh-huh.
He was going to the theater, he had told me, and he wouldn't be home till midnight. I found him like this when I called you.
Shot through the heart. Any idea who might have done it, Johnny boy?
No, I don't know, Mr. Morton.
I better call me Sergeant while I'm on this case, Johnny.
All right. But I still have no idea who did it. Of course, we were working on an important formula for the War Department, and there were threatening phone calls, but we never paid any attention to them. I wish we had. I'm going to trace this rotten murderer down if it's the last thing I do.
Mr. Darcy was very close to you, wasn't he, John?
As close as a man could be. He put me through school and gave me a chance in his firm. He did everything for me.
Oh, Bill, another new one I see, huh?
Another new one, he says. It's a murder, if that's what you mean, Drew. J. Richard Darcy, a millionaire. Mrs. John Gordon, his assistant. He found the body and reported the murder. Johnny, this is Drew Stevens from the police laboratory.
And Pat O'Connor, don't forget.
And Pat O'Connor.
How do you do? How do you do? Anything been touched, Bill?
Not a thing. Medical examiner was here, found the bullet wound, fixed the time of death at 8 o'clock, and left. That's all.
Uh-huh. Is Doc sure about the time?
Yes. Well, maybe 5 minutes either way.
Uh-huh. Say, you worked for Mr. Darcy Gordon?
Yes, I did. I guess I more than worked for him. You see, he had practically adopted me.
Uh-huh. I don't want to appear too much like a detective, Gordon, and questioning suspects isn't exactly my line, but where were you at 8 o'clock?
You don't have to worry about him. I've known Johnny for years, Drew, and he's got a foolproof alibi.
He has? What is it?
What is it, he said. Well, from 7:30 to 9:45, my son Bill Jr. and John Gordon were visiting me down at police headquarters.
See now, Pat. Nothing's been touched in the room. Gotta work fast before Bill Morton comes back to supervise the removal of the body.
Drew, what are you looking for?
The other half of Darcy's watch crystal, for one thing. Half of it's still on the watch. Probably broke when he fell down. I can't find the other half or any of the pieces in case it's snagged. Oh, well, I'll find it.
Now, what would a watch crystal have to do with a murder?
I don't know, Pat. Quiet now. I want to check over what we know so far.
Okay.
Let's see. Bill told us Gordon went to school with young Bill up at State Tech and has known him for years. Now, Gordon figures to inherit Darcy's estate, of course. He's a wonderful suspect.
Yes, and he's good looking, too. I'll tell him to go and commit a murder just to please you, but he didn't commit this one. Darcy was shot at 8 o'clock when Gordon was down at headquarters with Bill. Well, he didn't leave except maybe for a minute and 3 hours.
Yes, I know.
So what about those foreigners that Gordon said threatened Darcy unless he turned over his formula to them?
Well, I'll run up to the FBI in the morning and see what's in the files on enemy agents in this area.
And how about that crazy inventor, Richard Martin?
Oh, I'll see him, too. Uh-oh, got something. Say, Pat, Did the medical examiner tell Bill Morton that Darcy was shot at 8 o'clock?
I think so. At least he set the time of death as 8 o'clock. I'm sure Bill said that.
Darcy was dead at 8 o'clock, but I wonder what time he was shot. There's no blood at all around the wound. That means only one thing. Darcy was already dead when the bullet was fired into his heart. Mr. Morton, Richard Morton, the inventor.
I'm Martin. Who are you?
My name's Stevens.
Don't know you. Go away.
May I come in a minute, sir? I'd like to ask you some questions.
Don't know any answers. Now go away, young fella.
Mr. Morton, you knew J. Richard Darcy, I understand.
Darcy?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I knew him. I read in the paper this morning he was dead. I killed him, you know.
You did?
Oh, yes. Every night for the past 10 years, I've killed J. Richard Darcy. Only he was plain Joe Darcy when he stole my formula and disappeared.
You killed him every night?
Every night. Sometimes I'd strangle him, sometimes I'd poison him, and sometimes I'd hang him and watch him suffer.
Well, did you by any chance happen to kill him last night?
Last night? Last night. You know something, young fella? I don't remember whether I killed Darcy last night or not.
Oh, hello, Gordon. Sorry to get you down here, but there are several things I've got to know.
Oh, I don't mind coming, Mr. Stevens. I'll do anything I can to help.
Thanks. Now, first, did Mr. Darcy really steal the Richard Morton formula?
Off the record?
Yes.
Well, Darcy was Martin's partner when Martin discovered the formula.
Uh-huh.
He did take it, but he set up a trust fund in the event of his death that would turn over a lot of money to Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He never would give Martin any real money while he was alive because, well, you probably know Martin's mental condition. He couldn't have held on to it.
Then Martin would be a rich man if Darcy died, is that it?
If you mean, did he know about the trust fund, yes.
Uh-huh. Just one more thing, Gordon. Just what are you making up at your plant for the government?
Well, it's for the War Department, and I can't tell you. Orders, you know.
Well, I appreciate your attitude, Gordon. Thanks just the same. I'll call you if I need you.
All right.
Oh, and will you send Miss O'Connor in as you leave, please?
Yes, certainly. Goodbye.
Hello, operator. Connect me with the medical examiner, please. Yes, I'll wait. Thank you. Oh, hi, Pat. Sit down.
Okay, want me?
Yes, I want you to be quiet a minute. Oh, hello, Doc. Drew Stevens. Say, Doc, you did an autopsy on Darcy, didn't you? Huh? Good. Now, what did he die of, Doc? Oh, is that so? Uh-huh. Well, this is all starting to make sense now. Thanks a lot, Doc. Goodbye.
So now you know what Darcy died of. So what?
So this. I also happen to know who killed him. And you know how I know?
Well, how?
I know because one half of a watch crystal is missing.
Well, Drew, I've got that Richard Martin not locked up, safe and sound in a cell downstairs.
Good.
He's blown his top from here to China. Good to know we've got a murderer right where we can put our hands on him.
Oh, you've got that, I promise you.
Thanks for calling me down, Stevens. I wanted to be in this thing at the finish.
How did you know who killed Darcy, Drew?
Well, first of all, we know that Darcy was killed at 8 o'clock, but shot sometime after that. But why shoot a man after he's dead? Well, perhaps it was that the person who fired the shot didn't know Darcy was already dead.
Can't be. The shot was fired while the body was on the floor.
Right. Shooting was just to mislead the police. Now, the medical examiner's report showed that Darcy had been gassed to death. Poison gas at that. It was a poison gas your firm was making, wasn't it, Gordon? Well, you can tell me now.
Well, yes, it was. And from the original Richard Martin formula.
Poetic justice, I call it. A man steals a formula and is murdered with it.
Well, the gas killed Darcy, and then the murderer came back later to make sure of his work. Shoot him and then air out the apartment.
He could have done that all at once.
Oh, no, he couldn't. You see, when Darcy was gassed, the murderer was nowhere around.
Nowhere around. He murdered Darcy and he wasn't in the room?
Drew, you're overworked. No, I don't think so.
How about the watch crystal?
I'm coming to that, Pat. The murderer had obtained a little poisonous gas and enclosed it in some kind of a thin glass container.
That's very interesting.
Yes, the whole case is unusual. Anyhow, he went to Darcy's apartment sometime during the afternoon of the murder and inserted the glass container in the telephone box between the hammer and the bell. Now, a phone call would cause the hammer to hit the glass and break it, unloosing the gas. That's what happened. That's how Darcy died, with the murderer thinking himself safe miles away.
Well, I'll be darned. But how about...
Yeah, I know, the watch crystal. Well, the killer came back to Darcy's apartment later, but not only to shoot him and air out the room, but also to remove the tiny fragments of glass from the gas container broken by the phone bell. But he picked up one piece of glass too many.
The one that had been on Darcy's wristwatch and had been smashed when he fell. The piece of crystal missing was the first clue I had. Later, when I learned about the poison gas, it all matched up.
Well, how do you like that? A guy committing murder over the telephone.
Yes, and darn near a perfect crime, Bill.
I still don't see how you knew that Richard Martin was the killer.
I never said Martin killed Darcy. All I said was I wanted him placed in custody for his own protection. You see, I had a hunch the killer would come for him next.
You mean Martin's not the killer?
Oh, hold it a minute, Bill. Here's what our case narrowed down to. The murderer had to have a motive. That's first, of course. Then he had to have access to three things.
Which were
the poison gas, the Darcy apartment, and Darcy's private telephone number. Because the call that killed Darcy came over that phone. Only one person could fill that entire picture. Because neither Martin nor any foreign agent could possibly get Darcy's private phone number. That's why the murderer had to be you, John Gordon.
You're too smart, copper. Now you're going to be sorry.
Nice. Plug him, Bill. When he comes to, you can lock him up.
This is an awful shock, Drew. Imagine, I've known him for years. And him using me for an alibi. Me, a homicide detective.
Gee, he was so handsome, too.
Wait a minute. Hello. Yes, speaking. Uh-huh. Yes. 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 Okay. We better get rid of this John Gordon.
What's up?
We've got work to do. Alice Jennison, the scandal columnist on the Globe, has just been found in quite a scandalous position herself. She's lying in the gutter on a side street in the slums. And Drew, her throat is cut from ear to ear.